Shell freezes its plans to drill for oil in the Arctic Circle.
The people around the world have come together and put that political pressure on, and I think Shell just realised that actually it was going nowhere because the wind is changing and there's no longer the appetite for Arctic drilling that they thought there was.
Tech titans Google and Microsoft are declaring a truce in their war over patents.
Really, the only way out for the companies to both be competitive in the global market is for them to settle this.
A new app will soon give you an idea of how others view you. It's called People, and it'll allow users to rate everyone they know out of five.
I think it's safe to say that the reaction ranges from bad to completely, entirely awful.
Earlier, I was joined by Cassel Brian-Lowe, UK editor for The Wall Street Journal, and by Sujit Indaps, US editor for the Lex column on the FT. And I started by asking Cassel whether Shell's withdrawal from the Arctic is a big defeat for big oil.
Well, it's certainly a big win for the Arctic, or at least a reprieve for the Arctic. The large companies have long argued that the easy oil is gone and the only sources left are ones in sort of more dangerous politically and physically areas, and therefore sort of large investments are required to get that. Now that oil is cheap, it's harder to justify that financially. You know, put aside political and environmental concerns, just from a financial point of view, that makes it a lot harder. My guess is it could well be cyclical. If oil prices start to go up again, I wouldn't be surprised to see large companies, even Shell, sort of making the case again to tap into hard-to-reach oil reserves.
Sujit, that's at least part of the story, isn't it? Because the prices will dictate the drive to find renewed supplies. But is a company like Shell immune from the kind of public pressure that it's been under?
No, it's not immune at all. I mean, they are, it's a very big company. In fact, you could argue that they're a very big target. They've got deep pockets and are very prominent. So the bigger you are, the harder you fall, and the bigger target you are. The other issue is that's very interesting here is these investments that they've made, they've spent $7 billion over several years. And when they started this investment project, they had no idea that oil would crash to $40, $50 per barrel. And so this just goes to show how difficult a business this is. You're guessing where oil prices are going to be several years out. And if you miscalculate, it's very expensive.
I suppose you talked about easy oil, Cassel, a moment ago. Are there others ready to step in where Shell has withdrawn, or are they all just completely dissuaded by the rubbish prices?
Well, I think it'll put a chill on desire to drill in the Arctic, at least for a while. But that said, there are some companies, I believe the Italian company Eni is still planning to go ahead with Arctic drilling. So there is some appetite, but I do think it's going to give other companies pause for thought.
Moving on to the Google-Microsoft agreement, or at least peace appearing to break out. Sujit, what did you make of this?
Well, it's very interesting from Microsoft's perspective, where they are strategically. For a long time, they were one of the titans, but in the last few years, they've taken a back seat to Google and Apple particularly. And so you're seeing a lot more cooperation on their part. A few weeks ago, you saw Microsoft was represented at the Apple rollout of the new phone. They're creating these historically Microsoft apps that are going to work on Apple devices. And so it's very interesting to see their evolution from titan to a company that really has to cooperate now with these other platform companies, Apple and Google, who are really dominating the tech ecosystem.
So a conciliatory or pragmatic, you might say, approach basically by weakness.
Yes. Microsoft failed to anticipate the mobility revolution. Steve Ballmer very famously mocked the iPhone a few years ago. And not surprisingly, he's not the CEO anymore. So they made a strategic miscalculation and now are forced to grovel with Google and Apple.
Cassel, 18 outstanding cases resolved, as I understand it, in the US and in Germany. Is it a good thing when these extraordinary tech giants that dominate and some might think control our lives can at least live in peace with each other?
Well, certainly what we're seeing is this comes on the end of a period of very aggressive patent wars in the technology industry, particularly in the smartphone area. And this is perhaps recognition that, you know, the spats are a system that benefits no one except for the patent lawyers. And so this could be a further sign that the industry is sort of managing to make peace with each other, and you might have a little bit of a reprieve on that front. That said, there's areas where these companies are going to continue to compete, be it smartphones, give it tablets, And so I'd be surprised if we don't see points of tension going forward.
Let's zoom in on one last story. This People app, Peeple, is the spelling of this app, currently in the beta stage. And we heard there one reviewer say bad to entirely awful has been the appraisals thus far. But the company, Sajit, reckoned that they have been, quote, misrepresented by media, and they have all kinds of precautionary measures, conditions, terms and conditions, etc., in place to stop bullying. Are you persuaded?
Well, not really. I mean, these apps often have an opt-out mechanism where if you don't want your name in their database, you can actually go in and take it out. But the question is, who's going to take the time to do that, and how much damage will a person's reputation take before that happens? But literally, it's just the natural extension of a culture where we're already rating ourselves in so many ways. I mean, if you're a guest on Airbnb or take a ride in Uber, your host or your driver can rate you. There's Rate My Professor, which has been a very common or popular website where students will rank their professors and leave comments. So it's only natural that we've gotten to the point where anyone in daily life is going to be quantified.
So natural, but would you be happy to be rated?
Well, Lex, we don't have bylines, so let's put it that way. That I would not want a byline in real life either.
Cassell, would you like to be rated on this by maybe even by people you don't know but who found you on Facebook?
I'm not sure I want to be scored for personality. And we're, you know, we're reviewed for your professionalism. And as Sajit said, you know, our daily lives, we, you know, review everything from books to plumbers, even sort of apps like dating apps like Tinder. You're starting to veer in a different direction when you're rating people on things like attractiveness. I'm not sure I want to get to personality.
Our thanks to Cassell, Brian Lowe, The Wall Street Journal, and Sujit Indap with us from the Financial Times.